Well, who's going to be the first to talk then?
Well, there's only me here.
Okay, okay, how's it going?
Oh, yeah. Hey, guys, I'm here.
The Wanderer returns.
That was seamless, that was. That was absolutely seamless.
Yeah. Well, I haven't skipped a beat, guys. I thought I'd be out of practice, but here we are. I'm in.
Well, have you stayed up? First of all, have you stayed up to date with the podcast?
I have listened. Yes.
What do you think?
I think it's good. I mean, it takes me back to when I first started listening, and I wasn't on it, and I was just enjoying hearing you two idiots go at it.
You're a fan.
Yeah.
That's it. He's back to being a fan. Now he's the other side of the...
Well, basically, Josh's thinking was, I enjoy listening to these two idiots. I'm an idiot. I wonder if I could come on the show as well. I'll qualify.
Yeah. I mean, I'm an American, so I qualify on that pretty well.
By default. So where you been?
I'm in Red Eel now.
Is that how do you say it?
Red Eel.
Red Eel.
Have you actually moved now?
Yeah, this is the first show in the new place.
Is it bigger? Biggerer?
It's bigger. We've doubled the bedrooms, doubled the bathrooms. We have a small garden.
Doubling the kids next?
I don't think so. If the last
stick with one.
Yeah, I know. I was with some other buddies of mine the other night, and they had just had their second, and he was just whispering across the table, "Don't do it." But yeah, no. Silas is, you know, becoming a toddler now, so it's ramping up quite a bit right now.
Yeah, like, yeah. When is he fully walking and everything now?
Yeah, like a couple weeks ago, he kind of started taking a few steps, and now he's just almost running.
Yeah. He'll be into everything, picking stuff up, everything. It's a nightmare.
Yep. So, you know, trying to settle in the new place and watch him, because Blair's back at work now. So it's been a bit of a struggle, but we're enjoying it. We like the new place. We like being out of London. I don't think Blair realized how shit it was being in the middle of all that all the time.
Yeah.
But I could tell for a few months. I was like, I'm ready.
Yeah.
But it's nice.
You're a rural boy at heart, aren't you? In Georgia.
Yeah.
Was Blair from the city?
Suburbs? More so than I was, yeah, suburbs.
Oh, okay. So yeah. She was somewhat used to it, but it's like, what's the film when they take him out of the jungle? Is it Tarzan?
Deliverance.
Now, I was thinking, do they take Tarzan out of the jungle and put him into a city? What's that?
Yeah.
I just imagine it being a bit like that.
Yeah, exactly. I got all the vines I could hope for in Earlswood.
So, more importantly, what about the disc golf?
The disc golf. It's been pretty good. I've been running league at Croydon every Sunday. And then we just had the cyclone last weekend. So, I don't think you guys reported on that, did you?
No, but we're going to this evening.
I just saw what looked like fear in Bowen's eyes when he realized.
I was just watching him.
Shit, Josh ran a thing and we didn't even talk about it, yeah.
And he's frantically typing now, thinking.
I don't know what you're talking about. I've got last year's results already.
Okay, well, before we get into all that, that can be in another segment. But yeah, it's good to see you guys. Bowen, your hair looks pretty cool. Are you rocking a mullet?
Let me take... It looks a bit scruffy because of the headphones.
It looks scruffy anyway. Can you see it?
What? Wow. That's
strong. No, show it them all.
Wait, are you...
Show them the full fryer tub.
Dude, I'm right behind you there, though. That gives me hope.
It doesn't actually matter if I've got hair or not. You're...
No, of course it doesn't.
your hair got really wet yesterday and you're thinning worse than me. Yours is just all over and less generalised in one patch.
I very much am on the same wavelength. I think you see people who have like toupees and stuff like that, and I just don't get it. I just think just go naturally, just shave it off and get on with it. Do you know what I mean? What difference does it make if you're losing your hair? I don't understand.
Yeah, I mean, it just is so common. It's so common. And I think at first, when you start to realize it, it's kind of like, oh, shit, this is awful. But I think it's just one of those things. There's nothing you can do about it unless you spend money on it, and then you look an idiot.
Yeah, like Wayne Rooney.
Like Wayne Rooney. You got that little jab in, didn't you?
Yeah, my problem is, this is the thing I'm worried about. I've never had a shaved head. You know, like kids when they're at school or something, they'll shave their head just once. I've never done that. And I feel like I've got like a bit of a potato head.
You need to just go for it and just get in the backyard with some clippers and just check it out. I used to cut my own hair in the yard like all the time.
Right.
Yeah. I think once it's done, I think I'd prefer it because I'd never do anything with my hair anyway. I don't gel it or put it up or anything like that. You
do 3 on the top, 2 on the side, be done.
I've got a bone to pick with you, Joshua. Okay. We haven't recorded since the cyclone, so don't go throwing mud at shade at me.
Wait a minute. Maybe I was a week late. Last week. Maybe I was a week late listening to the episode then, because I thought, when did this one come out? June 8th, June 15th. All right, fine. Fair enough.
Where's the... No, that's not what you meant to say. What are you meant to say?
I don't know, but I'm going to say that Sammy was upset with you because you didn't mention Scottish Open.
The word begins with X.
I assumed that you had forgotten the cyclone.
The word begins with an S, and it starts with an I am something.
I am so sorry I came back to the show.
Could you say, wanker.
It's almost instantly regrettable, isn't it, Josh? Yeah. It's like you've never been away.
I've missed it. I'm glad to be back. I almost cancelled again tonight because it's just, you know, we're still settling in. I'm leaving for Sweden Wednesday morning at like 5 a.m.
Oh, Wednesday. Oh, bloody hell.
What are you going there for?
Swedish Open.
To play disc golf, you pillock.
That was too easy. I know what he's doing.
Where are you flying from, Josh? Gatwick.
I wish. I didn't realize when I booked the flights. I knew we were moving.
You booked a cheap flight, didn't you?
Dude, that's weird. I was talking about that with someone the other day. It's like, yeah, flights are so cheap to get to Europe, but then you realize it's like £100 to get the train to where you need to like leave from anyway.
No where wonder. Where is it then?
It's Heathrow.
Oh, it's not too bad.
No, I just got to go into London and then
the Heathrow Express.
Yeah, it's not bad. I would have done Gatwick if I would have known where we were going to live, but
yeah.
Whatever.
Handy to remember in future. Anyways, we've gone through the formalities. It's nice to have you back, Josh. Well, from my perspective, it is. I'm unsure. I don't want to speak on Bowen's half, but
you normally do, so it's all right.
let's get it going.
Well, it's time for In the Chains, the UK-based podcast for amateur disc golfers. Get ready for course reviews, disc reviews, and the latest news and updates from the disc golf world. Your hosts will also talk about their own progression and have a lot of fun along the way. And now, here they are, two Brits and one Yang. Let's get started.
Welcome back, everybody, to a brand new episode of In the Chains. And on the tee box tonight, with me, for a change, we have Joshua Birmingham.
Back in the saddle again.
Yeehaw! And on the other side of the tee box, we've got Monsieur Thomas Bowen.
I'm getting really fucked off this season.
No, you've got to sing a song.
He's been back one fucking time, and I've been relegated to second place again.
Well, sing a song, and then you might get promoted to first place next week.
I'm not performing monkey. No,
exactly.
I'm the only one that's been through this every show.
Is there a mute button? Is there a mute button for Bowie?
Try it.
And we could just have me and you, Josh, and Bowie could be the spectator.
The Ayatollah is back.
The Ayatollah is back.
Well, you know, it's a special occasion. So maybe next week.
Why is it special, Josh? Because if you were if you really cared about the show, you wouldn't leave. So I'm not classing it as a special occasion.
I can't really defend myself other than now that we're in this new place, it's going to be the quietest show ever on my end.
I enjoyed the quad bike that used to go past about the 45 minute mark.
Just used to razz it around the block.
There was a guy that pulled up across the street from us at the old place, and he had a Harley, and he just sat there for a couple of minutes, just like revving it up super loud. And then he gets off, goes and knocks on this guy's door. Guy didn't answer. I felt like he was about to get taken by the mob or something. Like it was his last warning or something. And he didn't answer. And the guy just got on the bike again, revved up a few times and left. Like he knew he was there, you know, he's like,
yeah, yeah.
That was weird. Anyway, I'm done with all that. There's no fighting in the streets out in front of the house with cars that can't get by each other and stuff. It's really nice. Yeah.
There's too many people in one place and it doesn't work.
Yeah.
So let's move on to what we normally say. And I'll go to you, Bone, because I can see you're upset.
No.
I can see, no. Don't try and backtrack. I can see you're upset about it.
I'm just laughing.
What have you been up to this week?
I'm just laughing at you trying to justify why Kidderminster's the best place to live because there aren't that many people. That you just said London, too many people in one place. And that's you saying that Kidderminster's the best town in the UK. I can tell. Confirm or deny.
What have you been up to this week?
Is it UK's best kept secret?
It's definitely fucking nuts. But,
Josh, you've got the Cotswolds pretty much right at the top, then just above that you've got Kidderminster.
Okay. I thought you meant nearby.
For tourism.
Yeah.
I imagine you'll see a lot of American and Chinese tourists coming around with cameras taking pictures of the derelict high street and
the backwards people.
The backwards people. The drug addicts on the
Duffy's
corner.
Duffy's one of the normal ones. That's the worst.
Yeah, he's coming in. He's gentrifying the place. I can tell. I've seen the AstroTurf in the back garden.
Yeah, it always looks pristine. I've been out hoovering it today.
That's your chavvy person's starter pack. That is the AstroTurf in the garden.
I've always said, in regards to Kiddy, it's perfectly situated because you've got, you literally go outside of Kidderminster and you've got countryside within 5 minutes in any direction. You've got Birmingham, Worcester and Wolverhampton relatively close, so you can get to gigs or cinema, ice skating, anything like that. You're not that far from Wales, so you can go to Snowdonia and stuff, so it's only an hour's drive or whatever, but Kidderminster itself is just a shithole.
Thank you. I'm glad there was something redeeming there. Thank you. Because I was shaking my head.
If it weren't for that, though, it would be a nice place because it is really well situated, but it's just full of knobheads. And perhaps on one of them, I don't know. Anyway, so what have you been up to this week, Bone?
Well, we played the Manchester Wide Open, didn't we, at the weekend, which, looking back at it, I was a bit worried that because it was, we played two rounds of disc golf each day, and I thought, oh, it's going to be crap, we ain't going to get back till late, blah, blah, blah. It was a really good event, I thought, in the end. I really did enjoy it. I hate with a passion Lilford, I've decided. It's it's a lovely place. It's I'm not knocking anyone's effort or anything. It's a horrendous course to play. I really struggled. A lot of people didn't struggle, but that's coming from me, that is. So
is it all woods?
All woods, apart from two extra holes that I added. One of them I heard Harry added because he'd set it up as a temporary thing and he aced it, so it had to be in the tournament. That was the rumour that I heard. But
he thought it was going to happen again.
Yeah, it's an interesting...
Which one did he ace?
I think a short one.
Oh, okay.
20, was
it? I think part of that is because of how many people to get shotgun golf. You with like over 100 people. I mean, you can't have six on a card. Five's almost pushing it to be too much. So, you've got to add holes in somewhere. It's just it was interesting. I think because they obviously, like you said, that we played two rounds of like 20 holes on the Sunday as well as two rounds on the Saturday. So basically four full rounds. Everybody played that. And I thought that was a weird choice. Because, I mean, I've never seen that before. I think
did you enjoy it in the end, though?
Yeah, I suppose I did, yeah. I enjoyed the tournament. That aspect of it, I did. I was knackered. I mean... I've been working on my fitness, as you can probably tell, with my top off. But fitness isn't necessarily my strong point. And I was just my legs, like, because you think I'm carrying all that weight and then my disc golf bag. and it gets tiring.
That's a lot, especially, like, I know Longford's, like, flat, basically. So that's, you know, doable.
I always feel Longford's dead easy. I never feel tired after Longford because I feel like it flows so well and there's very little walking between holes.
Yeah.
And it's all pretty compact and you can't really go too far off the beaten track and like hunting for discs and stuff like that. So I always think quite a quick refreshing round that.
Did you find though that in the woods at Lilford it didn't seem like you were going that far between holes? Did it fit? Because you didn't really know where you were, it didn't actually feel like you were transitioning that much, did it?
No, it didn't. And there was one... It's going to be crap, because I cannot remember the holes at all. I don't really know where I was.
Yeah.
That's... Were you like that?
Yeah, not, I'm not just, a clue.
Did you play it last year?
No. I have played it before. We both have played it before, but we've never played a tournament there before. And I mean, it was easy to find where the next hole was because they had good like signage and the paths were relatively clear on where to go.
Yeah, to be fair,
it was really easy to find a way through. They've done a really good job of that. But it was just geographically. I've got a good sense of direction of where I am to other stuff, other holes or. Where I am in comparison to where we started and stuff like that. But I just, once you're in the woods, I've just got no idea of how really I would even get back to where we started at the very start of the day. But there was one hole which had like two tee offs, pretty close to the fairway and the hole. And then another hole that finished really close to the fairway, and it was like it was quite a lot of people in that one section. So you had people putting out, you had drives coming up past them, you had people right by the basket teeing off for another hole, and then you had a hole a bit halfway down the fairway.
9 and 17. Yeah.
And there was sometimes quite a lot of people around there. But the actual course itself, I thought it flowed and played pretty well. To be fair, I quite liked it.
I saw a lot of people complimenting the course, and a lot of people that had played from the year before, and I guess it had gotten a lot more playable or beat in a bit from original.
Not enough setup. For me yet.
Yeah. That was kind of my.
They need to chop down about 5,000 trees for it to be playable for me.
But what Bowen wants is it to just be an open field.
With shade.
I
with
said,
shade.
I said to Molly Card, because we were at the bottom of MA3, I said, who's up for staying behind with me and we'll just set fire to the woods? Obviously, it was a joke. Obviously, it was a joke.
You're going to start getting questioned about the fires at QP.
I was at work that day, so I'm all right. I've got an alibi.
There was two holes which I thought were really difficult. A bit of hit and hope, I thought. Like, you could throw it like a really good shot and still just get punished. Like, there was one. Do you remember the one, Bowen? This is the problem. I can't remember what. Because we started on shotgun holes. There was 20 holes. You basically shooting up, it's about 100 metres. And like halfway up the fairway, there's about four big, thick trees.
Okay, keep going. Did you go right or left? Did you have to go right or left?
There was no real gap.
No, but where was the basket?
Straight ahead of you.
Oh.
Small gaps, I would assume.
Yeah, I would say maybe about 2 meters, maybe. But you couldn't like avoid them. You basically have to just throw it, even if you creamed a shot straight at the like pin, like dead straight, no turn, no fade, nothing, just dead straight. You can still hit a tree and just ping off miles, and I felt like that was just like a bit hit and hope, that one. But then there was other holes which I thought were really good. I think there was one I started on. What hole did I start on? I started on 13, which is only a small one, so it would have been 14. I like that one. That was a like, sort of a left to right sort of long sort of drive, so you could throw like a turnover, or the traditional play would sort of be like a forehand, and that was pretty. That seemed fair. I like it if you hit your gap or hit the line straight, you get rewarded by a good finish. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There was like one or two holes where I felt like that wasn't necessarily the case. I felt like there was a bit of luck involved. And I always feel that if you throw in the direction that you want to be throwing in, on the line you want to be throwing, then you should pretty much always get through or be rewarded for it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I feel like, because I haven't played the course yet, but I feel like Cotswolds is too many trees for me.
It's more than Cotswolds.
No.
I think it's the hardest wooded hole in the UK.
Do you guys say spray and pray?
No.
You get hit and hope, but I've never heard that one.
Spray and pray, I know.
Okay.
Would you say it's the hardest wooded hole we've played? I think Bluebells is easier because...
Of course, you mean.
Yeah.
What about Gillies?
Gillies is a bit more open.
Is it more like canopy? It's like low ceiling stuff at Redford?
Everything. Canopy, okay. Enclosed.
I don't think it's as bad as Bowen's making out, in all honesty.
To be fair, I played bogey golf or better on both rounds. But I just... The day was a struggle.
No, I disagree. I disagree with you, to be honest. I don't think... There weren't loads of holes where there was too many trees that it was impossible to shape shots or throw.
But when there were...
But there was a few. Like, there was one... Do you remember the one? Again, I don't know which one it was. I feel like saying 17, but it might be wrong. And it was, like, straight down for, like, 100 metres, like, dead narrow all the way down. And then it was almost, like, 90 degrees right. But you couldn't cut the corner because there was, like, guardian trees that were, like, impossible to get through. There was, like, about 100 guardian, like, little twiggy trees that you just couldn't get through.
I started on 17, yeah. I think that
was,
one...
Is that the...
It goes down and then right, yeah.
Yeah. That one I felt was really... I mean, I parred it both times, but, like, if you asked me to do it now, I would not feel confident of parring it. I felt like it was just... I mean, even with two good shots off the tee, I felt like I'd... There was a lot of luck involved for me to get to where I got to.
I'm curious to play it now.
Yeah, I think you'll like it, Josh.
You will enjoy
it. Don't let Bowen put you off.
I enjoyed it. I just think it is very hard.
Yeah.
And then the other thing was the at Longford we had the golf start, so it's similar to what they did at Croydon, because they had obviously loads of players, and we had early starts all the way through to like lunchtime-ish sort of thing, and then the second round sort of followed the end of the first round.
Yeah,
and I don't know whether that's going to be like a common theme from now on to. Sort of allow people to play, or more people to play at the tournament. I feel like as long as they give people sort of the option, do you want to play early? Would you rather play later? And sort of try the best to accommodate those sort of things. I feel like that's probably the best way, because you get more people playing then, don't you?
Yeah, definitely. How long were the rounds taking? About
not that long at Longford, a couple of hours.
Yeah, 2.5 hours, something like that, I think.
Yeah, and that's a lot to do with the course. Like, in Croydon, it takes three and a half hours to play a tournament round because you're in the shit.
Yeah. Lilford took a long time.
Yeah.
I don't know how long the round was there. I'd say it was, like, pushing or even over 4 hours.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
I don't think it was that long, was it?
I reckon it was. Well, what time did we start, Bowen? We started at 8:30.
We're finished by 12:15, I reckon.
Yeah, about four hours.
We were the only 4-man card on the course, and you
finished 25 minutes before me.
I finished a long time before you. Yeah.
I reckon I lasted at least 4 hours. I would say. Yeah. It's quite a long time, really. The only thing I don't like about the load of people golf start type format is you don't tend to be able to mingle as much as what you normally would, because by the time you're finished or by the time you're starting, either everybody's out on the course or they're about to start, and you just don't really, it almost feels like there's not many people at the tournament.
Yeah, that was the complaint with Mistral doing that, yeah.
Yeah. I think what you have to do, and both the Croydon and the Manchester tournament both did it, is, I mean, people travel together, people share like accommodation together, and so go to the tournament at the same time. So they need to be teeing off at the same time. Both tournaments did that, but like that is almost like a necessity, I think, that you need to offer that if you're doing that, because what you can't have is like we shared when we was in Croydon, we shared with Tom Potter and his mate Dan, and me and Matt Lee elected to tee off early, and I think we went on your card, the very first card, and I think Matt was the one after us, by the time we finished the first round, The last card to go out was Tom Potter's card, and then 10 minutes after that we started our second round. So we basically followed his card round, and we managed to get home, have a bath or a shower, go out and get some food, come back, and they still were an hour and a half, 2 hours away from getting back to the place, and it was just If you were going with somebody, you wouldn't be able to split them up like that. So it does take a lot of organising.
I mean, four rounds is like, it's cool that you got 4 rounds in, but maybe you could do golf starts for the first 2 rounds on the first day, and then do 1 round on the second day or whatever. But just to do 3 rounds, to keep everyone together. But you know,
what would you think about having four rounds, Josh?
Just depends on where you're at. I mean, I don't think I'd want to do 4 at Croydon, like 2 back to back on 2 days. That would kill me.
What about if you were way out of contention? So say you were 15 shots behind the leader after the third round.
15? I mean, I don't know. You get a whole round. If you play really good, I mean, I don't know. It just depends. Like, how many people are in your division and what spot you have a chance to get to. But I always like playing more golf, though. So if it's possible, I'd probably just go for it.
Anyways, so that's what. So how did you get on them, Bo?
I did all right. I played to my rating. I've got a funny story about. I enjoyed Longford a lot more, just because it's open. It's more suited to my game. I've got a funny story about hole one. And the, you know, the Mando at Longford on hole one? Josh, I was panicking about that, like, in the run-up to it, thinking, what am I going to throw? What would you say I threw both times?
I mean, a thumber?
So, hang on, yep. So, just before, people who haven't played Longford, there's basically a double Mando of, say, 4 metres, a 4 metre gap. And it's probably about pushing 10 metres away from the tee, yeah. I would say. Yeah. So not miles away, but it's a relatively small gap. And everybody watching, it's quite a nervous start.
And people do hit the trees, don't they?
Oh, yeah.
And Miss Amanda.
Yeah.
And the right side one's kind of got like a little V thing going on. If you make the V, you're still good though, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
So what did you throw?
I said to Duffy what I was going to throw, and he said, don't do that. I threw a tilt thumber the first round that was a roller, and it rolled all the way along the fairway, out round to the hole, and ended up like circle two, far past the hole.
Oh, shit.
And got a par.
What?
And then I was giving Tweedy some stick, so he said, I'm going to watch you tee off from... on my second round, because he was kicking around when I was about to tee off. So he watched me. So I threw it again, and it hit just before the red tee on the ground, and it sort of kicked up in the air and slowed it down, and it rolled into circle one.
What?
But then I missed my... Because Tweedy said, I'm going to follow you up and watch you make it, and I bottled the putt, didn't I? So I got a par. But yeah, like it was good. It was a good that day. I went completely birdie free. I couldn't get a birdie. But like the second round, I had like 5 putts for birdie and just couldn't make them. But it was very hot. I still got a real good PB for me on the blues. So that was 9 over. But that could have been like 4 over if I'd have hit my birdies.
Yeah.
And then
was your putting because you're. It's hot and you were getting like sticky hands and grip was weird or what?
Just couldn't get my rhythm. I was much better the following day at Lilford with my putting, but it was the rest of the game that let me down. But I won the temporary holes, hole 19. I was looking at stats and on round one, I got my only birdie of the weekend on hole 19. And I was the only player on MA3. On round three to birdie that hole.
Nice.
It was a four-round. It was an open fairway with a big bush in the middle that sort of blocked the direct route. So you had to either go left or right. So I went left with a forehand on a hyzer and put it right, basically right in. There was then a gap in some trees that was about 5 meters wide. Would you say, Duff?
Yeah, something like that. And 5 meters high.
Yeah, I put it right in the centre of the gap and had an easy putt. So, and then I got another birdie as well the following hole. So that round, I had 2 birdies in a row. And I was we started on 17, so we worked our way round. And I was like, even after 6 or 7 holes, so I was like, this is good, this is. Then I got like 3 triple bogeys and then 3 double bogeys. And it was just like, this is Woods golf. But yeah, apart from that, made up
for last time.
I didn't come last, so I'm happy with that. And also, the other thing is, I played MA3. I wanted to play MA3 because they're playing off the blue tees. And I feel like, not vindicated, but I'm glad I made that choice because the red tees, especially at Lilford, were just so much shorter. And I thought, you know what? I wouldn't have enjoyed it as much. Like, I felt like I pushed myself. I'm still crap, I know that. But I felt like it was better. I enjoyed it more. I might have placed in MA4. I don't know. We don't know what would have happened.
Yeah.
But, like, the blue tees. yeah, the Blue Tees are definitely more fun at Longford. And I'd say maybe fun's not, for me, is not the right word at Lilford, but more challenging. I had to push myself a bit more.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's good. Yeah, it's always good to put yourself up a little bit.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. So, Duffy, what about your tournament?
Okay. I felt like I played pretty well.
Yeah.
But I had tons of birdie opportunities, especially at Longford, and quite a few at Lilford, to be honest. And my putting just let me down. It just wasn't very good. Like, all the ones that, like, sort of 5-6 meters that you feel like you should make, I made those pretty much. Yeah. I don't think I missed a single one, sort of 5 meters. But, like, the ones where you feel like you could make, sort of, like, pushing edge of circle, just outside circle and stuff like that, like, I think I made, like, maybe 2. And, like, it just didn't make enough of those, really. And that's what sort of held me back. Like, at Longford, I reckon, across the 2 rounds, inside sort of edge of circle, I reckon I dropped about 7 or 8 birdies by not being able to make any of the putts.
That was a bit like me, that was, yeah.
And, it was a bit disappointing, but I felt like it was almost like I was trying different things to just try and get it back up and running, and I just never really got into a rhythm, really. But I certainly enjoyed it. I thought it was a good tournament. And I like playing at the 2 courses and the 2 different courses as well, because Longford can, it's not easy, but it's like it suits a right-handed player, sort of right to left shots, and there's a lot of the same sort of shots. Where at Lilford, it's like almost a complete opposite. You're having to shape shots. I feel like those sort of tournaments, I've always said it on the Disc Golf Pro Tour as well, those sort of tournaments does tend to bring out the better all-round disc golfer, don't they? Because you've got, it's not just who can throw it the furthest, but it's who can shape shots, who's got a forehand, who's got a scramble game, and who can put, and who can, do you know what I mean? It lends well to that, I think.
It makes the event feel more professional, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I think so.
It was well run as well, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I heard that.
On the last card, I mean, all I had really to fight for, I was like 7th, I think, after... Oh, my God, yeah. Yeah, I was 7th after round 3, and I was 5 shots behind 3rd place. And I thought, with a good round, I might be able to get that. Up to around 3rd or 4th. And on the last 2 holes to go, I had to get solo 5th. I had to basically beat Kai Birch, who was on our card. Well, just make sure that I stayed one ahead of him. He had one shot. I had one shot on him. And I fluffed the 17th at my penultimate hole. I fluffed that and took a bogey, and he parred, so he had the shot back, so it was all level on the last one, and it was like a downhill shot, bit of a tricky shot, but it was like I threw a berg full power but down a hill sort of thing, so maybe like 70-80 meters, something like that, a bit downhill. And he threw his, and I thought his had faded off quite a bit left, and I threw mine. I caught a tree, it threw it nice, it was in the middle of the fairway, I caught a tree and it sort of pinged off that, but still kept going a little bit. And it left me maybe about 30 metres away with a few trees in the way. And as we got down there to my putt, I thought, all I'm going to do is chip up, drop it in, and see what happens. Do you know what I mean? I thought, I'll play safe. I'll do that. And I thought I could easily do that. I got down there, and here's, I don't know how it had happened, but here's was about 5 meters away from the basket. I could see it, and I was like, it's going to birdie this, and I'm going to lose out here. So I thought, well, I've got to run it now. So I ran this, sort of with the glitch, just like a gentle sort of like half toss sort of thing. And it like hit like pretty much all the chains and just chained out. And I was good, because like as soon as it left my hand, I thought, oh my God, This is
I've
it.
I've done it.
I've rescued it. It's a miracle. Oh, no, I haven't. It was like the most deflated thing to end a tournament I've ever.
Should it have stayed?
I feel like it should have, really, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, of course you do.
No, I did. I feel
you do.
Say 100% of the chains as it's coming in. I feel like it hit 35 to 40% of the chains. And in
how
its day, it didn't
did
stay.
It hit how high?
Right in the middle.
It don't make you get them
left side or right
you?
Side?
Left side.
Ah, yeah, no. Definitely
yeah.
Not.
No.
Why is that just your superstition, or is it because of the spin?
The spin, yeah. If you hit the right side, it's got more chain to kind of spin into. Whereas if you hit the left side, it just jumps off.
But does that change if you're throwing forehand in?
Yeah. And lefty versus righty, yeah, putts.
I did that and I lost out. And in the end, if I would have made that putt, I would have been tied fourth.
But instead, I was
sixth.
That's the left side for a backhand or for a righty putter.
Yeah.
It's called the AM side.
The AM side, yeah. And then the pro side is the right hand side.
Is that why they've got that shoddy name, is it? Is that why that's called that?
Yes.
I always wondered what its relevance to disc golf was, because I never understood it.
So ours is about making putts and getting them in the chains. Theirs is all about missing. That's quite ironic, really, isn't it?
I like that.
I could have finished tied fourth, ended up sixth. I felt like that was probably fair. I mean, there was no way I was going to get in contention, really. I just wasn't at the races, really, and it's just one of those weekends. But I had a good time, so that was the main thing.
Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt. Going back to me, I actually got four birdies instead of just the two that I said. I got four birdies at Lilford, which is a course that I didn't enjoy as much as Longford and said was harder. So maybe it's not. Maybe I'm just talking out my arse again.
Yeah, I think that's probably right.
Trees are 90% air.
That's it. But the problem is that air, like, if you think about it logically, there is a lot more air than there is trees, but your discs are attracted to trees, aren't they?
Yeah, for sure. And, like, in the woods, when you're playing golf and it's just a bunch of tree trunks, that's 100% not air. None of it.
Right, we've done a lot of chatting. Yeah. Are you done at Manchester?
Yeah, I'm done, yeah.
How did the cyclone go then, Josh?
It was good. It was my first time TDing an actual tournament. I've done league. This is my second time doing league now. But that is 10 times easier. Like, with the tournament, you have to think of so many things. Prizes for every division. You know, what's the payout going to be? The course, the caddy book, concessions, like, you know.
It's a lot.
And it mostly went pretty well on that side of it, because we have a pretty good team, like Rich and everyone, that kind of did their normal thing to help out with the tournament. So it went pretty smoothly. But I was having some issues because I was doing groups in between rounds on my phone on the PDGA site.
Oh, yeah.
And the platform isn't really made to be on like a mobile thing like in the moment. So I should have brought the laptop. I wasn't getting good signal, and so I would set something up, hit go, and then like half the field wouldn't be on the whole assignments like they were when I hit the button. And so I was kind of freaking out, thinking it was just me being an idiot, because that's usually the case. But Phil was there, and I had him look at it, and he's like, no, everything's fine. I don't know what's going on. So the finals, like, literally 20 minutes into we should have been started the finals, I was still running around like a crazy person with my phone, just like cussing. And but then I eventually just told the one group it wouldn't like import their names for it, to just go to a hole, you disc their scores, and I would like put them in manually. But and that kind of put me off my game for the finals a little bit, like starting out. But you know, otherwise I played pretty well. I got my first 1,000 rated round of the season. And the first round was going to be 1,000 rated as well, but it got relegated to 999. Oh. Sad as that, yeah.
Congratulations, yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, so, yeah, it was all good.
How are you in the standings for UK 1,000 rated rounds this season? Are you up there?
I wouldn't think so. Not, no, it's because it's kind of late in the season. Or what, about halfway through, maybe?
Who do you think probably is?
Who has the most?
Yeah. Proper 1,000 rated rounds.
If I just had to guess, I'd say Joe O'Brien because or James. But I don't think... I don't know. I just haven't seen either of them playing that much. And that's been kind of my problem as well.
I'd hazard a guess at who's had the most 1,000 rated rounds. I would say it is Ollie Simonson.
I don't know. What?
I bet you.
Maybe.
I guess with league?
Yeah.
Wait, so I have... No, I've only got one from league so far. But my league hasn't been counted because it's not over yet, so they don't count the ratings until it's like completely over.
Ah, okay, okay.
But that doesn't mean anything. I'm still not winning that category. But I don't know who that would be, but it would take some like investigation. Like you'd have to look up everyone's profile and
that sounds like too much hard work for him.
That's a Sammy job. That's a Sammy job if ever I heard it.
No, what you do
Sammy Mando.
I read this a while ago. There's a little trick to find out something on the internet because people don't want to help somebody who needs help. Okay, so what you say is the opposite. So you say something like, so say you wanted to find out what goes into make Bacardi. Okay, you go, oh yeah, they just use honey and wine to make Bacardi. That's all they do. So you say purposely wrong, and then somebody like Sammy comes on and goes, actually, no, how they make Bacardi is this.
Yeah.
So what you need to say...
You're an idiot. Look at this. Yeah.
Yeah. So what you need to say is, James Luton's got the most 1,000 rated rounds this year. And then Sammy will correct us. The next week we'll be able to say, oh, actually, no, the real answer is this.
Sammy's so just going to spend.
Edit the last 45 seconds out and then we'll know.
Yeah, Sammy's going to spend 4 hours each day researching this until he has. And he's going to provide pie charts and all sorts. I can sense it now.
Look, guys, I think we should do a segment, a Sammy seg, every, once a month or something. And he can just like, he chooses the topic and he just has like 5 minutes.
Yeah, he won't do it though. He won't do it because if he was to get something wrong, he would not live it down.
No, he wouldn't.
There's no way. And do you know something else that's funny? You know Sammy Josh.
Yeah.
Now, what he shot at, I think it was at Inverness on the first round, he shot over 1,000 rated round. Okay? He put in the team in the chat... His round rating and a phrase underneath. And it's the most unsammy like phrase you can imagine.
Oh.
He put the picture in, he put, "Come at me, bro." And it's, can you imagine Sammy saying that? It's like, who's got Sammy's phone? It's
That is good.
It tickled me, that did. I was properly laughing at that.
I can see it. He was probably laughing when he typed it in. Oh, man.
Back to the cyclone anyway.
It was fine. All good. We put a lot of time into like strimming the course and trimming and all that stuff. And the council came out and did a nice cut of the fairways and everything. So it actually was... It looks as good as it ever has in the past 5 years that I've been there, like in the summer, because it's always overgrown.
Is it still easy for you to get there, Josh?
Yeah. It's maybe easier.
Oh, okay. Ooh.
It's not any farther or shorter. It's about the same time, 30 minutes or so. Yeah. If I take my bike from here to the to the closest train station, go up 3 stops, pop off in 5 minutes, cycle on the other end.
Okay, that's not too bad.
No. I thought I'd screwed myself out of all disc golf courses, but luckily it's pretty good.
It's nice to be back at that one, because that's where you had all your friends and stuff in it.
Yeah.
What's that, Bo?
I said you tried to screw yourself out of it, or Blair tried to.
No, she never even saw the place before we signed on the dotted line. Like, oh, I came and found it, and the only reason, not the only reason, but the main reason I chose this place is because the garden backs up to a 230-acre common that used to be a golf course that's no longer a golf course. It's just an open fairways, and like, it's a ghost town back there. Like, I'm going to put a course in for sure.
Can you get a course there?
I'm going to try. I think I'm going to have to reach out to Hatton and see if he can get me one of those, the business plan to send to the council, because it's like ready to go.
That could be your legacy.
All you have to do is put baskets in the ground. There's like, they have like, you know, like golf courses have like the steps up to the tee box for us. It's like literally those are still there everywhere, and you could just put these elevated tees in, and it wouldn't be the most interesting golf, I don't think. There is a section of woods here and there that I could probably work a few holes in and out of, but I'm seeing like a proper like bomber course. Like lots of par fours.
There's a golf course like that,
but then have 3 different sets of tees, like a golf course would.
Yeah.
That way anyone could play it.
Nice.
But it's all open and ready to go.
Yeah, but the thing is though, Josh, I know you're not doing it for yourself. You're thinking of Silas. And it's a good way of getting him exercise, isn't it? Like, as he grows up. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Can't have him on the iPods and the
It's pretty
the
selfless really what you're trying to do. It's pretty admirable.
Thank you.
Anyways, so shall we go into everybody's least favourite section? Before that, we'll just have a quick word from our sponsor.
Buy your discs from In the Chain Shop. Buy your discs from In the Chain Shop.
Excellent. Over to
Owen's Fake News.
Can I just say, of vindication's the word, Sammy actually put in the group that you are not allowed to read any names out because you did a shambolic job the other day and you didn't care about it. At least I'll put love and care into mine. So we're just going to start with that. Right, I'm going to start with, let's go with the Croydon Cyclone because that was the one furthest back in the past.
It's kind of the least important as well, isn't it?
Yes, I'll blast through it.
Don't mention the MPO winner for Cyclone.
Okay. I looked for Scottish tournaments as well and couldn't find any. It might be my poor searching. Sammy, if I've missed it, let me know. We'll get it on next week's show.
What's their tour called again?
There was a tournament.
What one was it? The Scottish Open, because I've already done the Scottish Open.
No.
Bowen, what's their tour called?
I can't remember the
Quash.
Quash. I was going to say Crash.
Quash.
I was going to say the Crake Tour. Like, you know, Quake. What's a crack?
Let's see here.
So
I don't think there's anything. John and Sammy would have played it, and they haven't played it. So the last one they played is Inverness.
Let's talk about that might have been the one. Did I do the Inverness? Because that was definitely Glasgow.
It's the Highland Open. It was played this past weekend.
That was okay. We'll do that in a minute. We'll cut all this out, and we'll pretend like I haven't thought about it.
Well, is that what you think is going to happen? If you think that's going to happen, you're not more naive than I thought.
You're an arsewipe because you cut out all your fucking mistakes and then make me look like a clown. And
you just contradicted yourself then.
That's
because
what
I didn't cut out my mistakes last week, reading the results out.
No, because you didn't give a shit about that section. But the bits you do give a shit about, you'll cut out. That's called gaslighting, that is, my friends. Right, let's start with the cyclone whilst I hurriedly look for the Inverness one. Dan Ryan won MPO with 18 under. Sorry, Josh. In second place was Josh with 12 under. And third place was Jeremy Howard with 5 under. FPO was won by Sean Lee. MP40, Ian McDougall won with 3 under. Dom Hayden came second. Is he back in the UK? He's a decent bloke, he is.
I think he's back and forth.
Yeah. I think he's down to play Quarry Park, to be fair, because like, he's a good lad. I played with him at Essex.
Cool, dude.
Third place was Christian Du Samadson, I'm going to say.
Christian, yeah.
Yeah, so MP50 was won by Craig Pettit. MA1 was won by Harry Pierce with, we're just going to leave it there, Brian Finor to Chorvi in Golfson. That's what I'm going for.
What was the first name?
Brian Finor.
Frank.
Frank, okay.
I had to call his name out at the award ceremony, and as he could see my face as I was trying to start to read it, I didn't even make a noise. And he goes, it's Frank.
Like, I was like,
thank you.
Duffy, it's got F-R-I squiggly line, F-I-N-N-U-R.
Yeah, that's Frank, isn't it, obviously.
Frianfana.
It's like a circle with a bent arrow coming off of it.
Oh, a bent arrow or a diagonal line for it?
No, a bent arrow.
A circle with a bent arrow for it?
No, actually, like a bent sword at the top.
What?
I'll copy it and I'll put it in the WhatsApp group.
Don't worry.
It's just Frank.
Yeah, we'll go with Frank. If that's what he said it is, that's what it is.
Right, so I'll put it in the WhatsApp group anyway because I'm that quick at that.
You're super good.
Computers, innit? Third place was Adam Keane. I knew I'd get a nibble off of that. MA40 was Paul Waite, Thomas Krupan, and then... And then James Burton. Something went wrong there. What went wrong there? Because Jamie Crossett says he's fifth place, but he didn't finish his hole or something. He's still waiting to finish.
No. He had a spot in the finals, but couldn't play the finals. So I had to pull him out, and it basically didn't remove his tee time or the whole assignment.
It's a TD balls up then by the sounds of it. But
yeah.
That happened at the Mistral with Condor that we're still not getting over.
That's totally separate. Anyone that was there got to play.
But
I have never seen that symbol above an O before in my life.
No, neither have I. It's like a sword.
Is that
isn't
a real letter?
I just copied it from the what's it name? I just literally copied it and sent it to you. Were you trying to
have
figure
you seen
out what
it, Josh?
It was?
Yeah, I've seen it.
Have you ever seen that symbol before?
I did, and I didn't realize I'd seen it, but I must have looked at it at one point or another. It looks weird. Yeah, it's like a sword. It's just a sword that continues into the circle.
Into the circle? Almost like a six?
He's from Iceland, so... Iceland things. No, the country. It's a bizarre country, that place is, but there we go.
I do want to go there. Carry on.
There you go. A man as tight as you wouldn't buy anything there, let's put it that way.
Can I take my camper van there?
I don't think you can. Who's doing this to me? FA40 was Svandis Haldorfsdottir.
That was pretty good.
I know that because it's Haldor's daughter, basically. That's what the last name means. Dottir is daughter, yeah. So okay. It's Haldor's daughter. MA50 was Jonathan Bone. MA60 was Dan Hippie Hawkins. MA2 was Luke Stanley. MA3 was Julius Verbikas. MA4 was Ilya Onshenko.
Onshenko.
I'm sort of getting there. So, yeah, that was the Cyclone. We'll go to the MWO3. Sounds like a computer game, that does.
Yeah, Modern Warfare. Oh, think of a place, you know, though.
Odessa.
Mildly wet orifices.
Oh.
Orifices.
Nice. MPO was won by Pete Dawson with 12 under, with John Tweed at 3 under. This is the impressive thing. Peter Foden went off in MA1. Like, same course as MPO, 22 under. He got Josh on Sunday at Lilford. He got two aces. I don't know if it was on the same
round. That. No, yeah. It was back-to-back rounds, though.
Yeah, that's nuts, isn't it?
Yeah, and both about 70 to 80 meters, so it wasn't like a putt or anything. It was like a legit hole.
And he had 2,000 rated rounds at the weekend.
It is pretty crazy. That's congratulations. That's sure that was an amazing weekend of golf.
That's Ollie level.
Yeah, exactly. Well, exactly.
I mean, he's getting there. But I don't know who this guy is.
No one does. Do you know what his PDGA number is? It's in the 200,000s.
Yeah.
Josh, I imagine you'll see him on the lead card. From it'll be at the hole in front of you in a 6 months time.
Oh yeah, well, yeah. It's I'm just going downhill every year.
He's going MC40 though, aren't you?
You missed a trick there. You missed a trick there. You should have said, "Yeah, well, you won't even be at the same tournament as him."
I'm just sad. Never mind. Just keep going. Keep going.
Andy Partridge came in second at 11 under MA1, and Mr. Stanley Valentine, the legend, came third at 6 under. So well done to him.
He had his one of his first 1,000 rated rounds.
He had a 1,000 rated round, yeah.
In a legit tournament, apparently.
Yeah. I was talking to him on the Saturday, and he was like, "Oh, I played very well today." And I thought, "Well, you ain't done that badly." And then Sunday, he just turned it on. He obviously, it lit a fire underneath him, didn't it? And he just went mad.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But then it makes sense because Longford isn't really for lefties, is it? So it's a lot harder for him. So there we go.
Yeah. Yeah. He played better at Lilford, didn't he?
Yeah. Very good for him. In FA1, Phoebe Chambeau won with Catherine Lee Williams in second and Elva Kate Preston in third. So well done to them. MA40, Mark Maloney won with Alex Lichtenfels in second and Kevin Addison in third. Shout out to Ray Donnelly, who nearly made the podium, but unfortunately didn't. What team are they called? What do they call them? The Rimmers. Well done, the Rimmers. MA50. Why are you laughing, Josh?
What does that mean?
Different connotations. MA50 was won by Kevin Shawley. MA60 was Eric Turton. MA2 was Robbie Bancroft with Thomas Crupan in second and Toby Knight in third. I played with Robbie and Toby on the first day. Both great lads. You're getting bored now, aren't you, Duff? I can tell.
Yeah, just names.
Ophelia Byrne won FA2. They're not names, they're people.
No, you're just reading out just names for that's 2-3 minutes. Well, even longer
MA3
than that.
Was Ben Kerfey with Julius in second, Byron Humphreys in third, Kai Birch in tied fourth with Liam Taylor, Duffy in sixth. Special shout out to Tom Bowen, who came 23rd.
Special shout out.
if I threw on you, I'd get a laugh out of you.
Did he pay for that shout-out?
He doesn't have to, mate. He makes the rules up himself.
He makes the news.
FA3 was won by Laura Kenny. MA4, Nick Fletcher with Nathan Warren, who's a local lad to Ostoff, in second. And James O'Connor in third. Right.
Who's close to us?
Nathan Warren.
Where's he?
He's Kenilworth, but he plays at Arrow Valley a fair bit.
Oh, okay.
So yeah. We are going now to the Highlands Open. I promised Duff we're nearly done.
We can't do a speed run because it looks like
26 players.
They'll be appealing for independence again. But don't do it speed run, but just do. You know what I mean?
Keep digging that hole. That was this weekend? Yeah, that was this weekend. It's all right, there aren't as many people here. MPO was won by Rick Rick with John Bruce, and Ben Bruce played only the second day. MP40 was won by Ben Haywood with Jester Wilson in second. MA1, Fergus McLean. MA40, Trevor Bechtel. MA2, Bechtel. I don't know. Is it like bechamel sauce, is it, Orson?
Yeah.
MA2 was Theodore Rolson. MA3, Jamie Wells. And MJ08, keep on smashing it, Maverick Beaumont. Right.
Maverick.
Where was that played at?
Inverness.
Oh, that was Inverness as well?
No, that was Forest. Where Forest is, it sounds like near Inverness. I don't know.
Yeah. I imagine it's on Loch Ness somewhere. Okie doke. So, the main thing that the only reason I've come onto the podcast tonight, to be fair, and not just left Josh and Bone to it.
I've still got another tournament, Josh.
Oh, what's the tournament?
Des Moines.
Nah, fuck it.
Well, can I just mention that team?
No,
this is important. Is important.
If it's to do a team in the chains.
Team in the chains. Vanessa Van Dyke and well done, tied ninth. Tied with Ella Hansen and Paige Pierce. Well done.
Well done. Now, what everybody's dying to hear, we haven't had an update in a very long time on our predictions that I was screwed out of. I'm going to put it out there.
How were you screwed out of?
Because I had last pick every time.
Do you run the game?
I didn't think you picked Simone with Lyme disease.
You did picks.
That's a bite. That is a bite.
You did the picks.
I've got them both on strings like puppets.
God.
Right.
Okie dokie.
Give us an update, Josh. Give us an update.
Here we are. We're back mid-season. And we've got, you know, we're starting to get some good numbers here. And it's actually closer than I would have guessed, I think. Maybe not you, Duffy. But got him. So, in dead last, we got Duffy with a total of 2,204 points. His weak links, obviously, are Ricky at 319 points on the season, and Valerie Mondahano with 87.
So what's Calvin got, for instance? What sort of numbers is he?
Calvin has the most. He has 829.
Okay, it so top end is the top end is like 820.
It doesn't
then
matter.
And so
it
what did Ricky? No, I'm just talking. It's nothing to do with you. Keep
you're basically
your nose out.
feast or famine with your team.
So what's Ricky on?
It's only as strong as its weakest link.
What's the other one?
What's Ricky on?
Ricky is on 319.
Okay. Yeah, so that's five. Yeah.
He's third worst on your team. Kona only has 204 points.
Okie doke.
It's not very true.
Kona had a child or something?
No, she got married, didn't she?
Oh, she got married.
Yeah. I don't know.
Did you see that video when they got married? They did a putt at the wedding in their bride and groom outfit and called to this putt.
I won't say anything. I won't make any jokes about missing putts. Okay, So, yeah, Duff, Dead Last Duff, that's what we call him.
Yeah.
Bowen, in a very close race, is in second place with 2,935 points.
How many points are we ahead of? Am I ahead of Duff?
You are 731.
Oh.
And I...
almost. That's almost as many places as you were behind me in MA3 on the weekend.
Look at him getting salty. Duffy is the stat man. He knows everything about everything, sport-wise. He gets everything right. His teams are the best. He has to be right. And he's floundering. I memed on you by picking shit players. And then
backed out of it. You said I'd ruin the game.
You said I'd ruin the game and had to pick again. So I'm memeing on you right now. I'm 700 points ahead. And I had to pick after you anyway. So
you've got Gannon with 711 points. That's your best. Your worst is Paige Hsu at 181. And I think maybe a little bit of too much time off the road and maybe not playing as many events.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It was an out there pick, wasn't it? So,
but I would have backed that pick. Katrina Allen's got 689. That's pretty good. Owns 641. Solid pick. I would have picked her. But yeah. And then you got me, obviously, the best, because I know what's going on in the world of disc golf. And
I'm a pro at disc golf. Know,
yeah.
So he's salty again. He doesn't like it.
Okay. So I have... So Bowen was at 2,935. I'm at 3,022.
So it's still close.
Yeah. It's like, what, 100 points? Not just a little less? Yeah. So, yeah, Kristen obviously is killing it. 7 victories this season for a total of 934 points.
Is she the highest scoring amongst all players? She's got to be, isn't she? Yeah.
Yeah. And I think Calvin's the highest MPO.
That was the kind of pick that everyone would have picked. And, like...
Yeah.
You did get lucky.
So
she's holding it down, really. Like,
do you know who's second?
With the ladies, women's
or not? Without you don't.
Sounds like Katrina, doesn't it?
It might be Katrina.
It might be. There could be one. I don't know.
I can't think of anyone else that's really been up there.
But yeah, I mean, there's still time, and I feel like Duffy. If Ricky goes on a tear and Calvin keeps playing the way he is,
Paige picks up.
If Paige gets a win or two.
Yeah, that's what I think. That's what I'm hoping for.
Valerie Mondahano is starting to show signs of being good again.
I'm hoping Kristen like pisses off back to Europe and gives other people a chance. And then Paige decides that she's going to start playing again because Kristen's not here. That's what I'm hoping. That's a weird
one. I feel like Paige wants to act like she doesn't care, and she said that recently, but I think deep down she really does want to win.
Yeah.
But at the same time, does she want it enough to maybe work as hard as she did in the past to stay on top? Or was she working the same amount and just the field wasn't quite caught up to her yet?
I think it's
and
that.
Now they have.
I think it's that. I think women are throwing it further and they're matching what Paige can do or used to be able to do. And I think you're getting a lot more competition there, basically. And it's before, I mean, if you can drive another 20, 30 metres on top of everybody each time, it soon sort of racks up. And, I mean, as long as you put well, like you're giving yourself a good advantage, aren't you? And I think that advantage is like slowly just got smaller and smaller and smaller. And I think feel like a bit of confidence has gone from her as well.
Also, with Kristen... I just saw something today where she's already like a champion cross country skier in Estonia, like a national champion.
Really?
So she's like a pure athlete.
Yeah.
Versus Paige just has been playing disc golf her whole life.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not saying she's not an athlete, but I think Kristen is more traditional, like, you know, processes of like being ready and focusing on your body and like all that kind of stuff. Like,
yeah, that explains quite a lot, actually, the cross country skiing bit, because her legs are like really like they look strong, yeah, don't they?
She's a great athlete, and I think you're going to have more people treating disc golf like the sport it is, you know, now. Like, it's still got a bit of that old school,
yeah,
just go out there and throw it, but it's like you need to do the things off the course as well to kind of keep up, I think, in now and in the near future.
I agree. Excellent. But, so, I've still got a little bit of time then.
Yeah, sure. I thought you meant in the show tonight. I was like, oh, right. You surely he's not talking about this guy.
Can I ask a question? Kevin Jones has done better for me than we first thought he would, hasn't he? He ain't done too bad, has he?
He's second worst on your team.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, he's only got 332 points.
But that's more than Duffy's second best place. Sorry, player, third. Isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Duffy's the only player with, or the only contestant with a player in double digits still.
Who's that?
Valerie Mondahano.
I'm gonna wipe.
But she did. If Duffy had let me say it, she did all right in Des Moines, didn't she, or Des Moines, or whatever you call it. I don't know what you Americans call it.
Yeah, there's no S. There's no S on either one. Des Moines.
I didn't think there was, but
that's Americans trying to pretend that they're a bit more European, a bit more sophisticated.
Yes.
Is that like French?
I don't know, because it's in Iowa. I didn't know they had a big French following in Iowa.
Well, you eat pizza in fucking England.
I think they eat pizza all over the world, I think.
This is a funny story, actually, Josh. You might want to have a look at this. Pizza was actually invented in Britain and then exported to Italy.
Was it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do you like them apples? Same with the Balti. It was made in Lye up the road from me and Bowen.
Yeah.
Wait, what did you say?
The I Balti. Don't know if they have Baltis down south. Do you have Baltis?
No.
No, they won't. It's not a southern thing.
Is it not? I thought it was just a generic thing.
No, it's not a southern thing.
It's like a lightly spiced, dryish curry.
Oh.
As in not much sauce, normally.
No. No, I've never heard of that.
Okay, so...
Can I add one thing before we finish? And this is nothing to do with any of this. The one thing that really fucked me off about yesterday... is I've been bitten 20 times by mosquitoes. Oh. Absolutely horrific. And yeah, I'm sure that...
I like that, though. Don't you like scratching
them? I don't. No, what? Because you have to scratch your heads off to make them bleed, don't you? And then they don't itch.
Yeah, that's what I like doing.
But I've had to wear jeans all day and I've just felt them rub all day.
I quite like scratching them, I do. Anyhow... we'll leave it there. It was a pleasure having you back, Josh. Will you be back with us next week?
Yes. I'll be fresh back from Sweden, and I'll show you guys the MPO trophy.
Yeah.
Very good. Yeah.
On a photo that I take from whoever wins it.
Is Paul playing, is he?
Paul's playing.
Who else is going from the UK?
If he plays the worst golf he's ever played, which he could because he's kind of been up and down, and I play the best golf I've ever played, there's a chance we meet in the middle and play together.
Well, that'd be good.
But I think I'd have to play pretty good, and he'd have to play pretty bad.
I know Scott Stokely's probably going to be there, but he hasn't been very well, has he?
He's got E. coli, he says.
No, he hasn't got E. coli.
Again.
That would kill most people.
He said he thinks that's what it is, but he's still in, is it Norway or Sweden at a hospital?
It won't be. It'll just be a tummy bug.
He said it's in his blood and his urine. Like, it's fully infected him.
Nah.
That's what he said.
No, not having it.
He said, it feels like E. coli again, but it's just hitting harder.
What do I always see on the American ads for the NFL? Colitis or something? That's one of them. It's colitis, isn't it?
Colitis? I don't know.
I don't even know what that is.
Is that... Oh, yeah. No, I don't know. I love the pharmaceutical commercials, though. It's like,
yeah.
Oh, this will solve your life. And then at the end, it's like, could make you shit blood for 5 days.
That's at best.
Like, what?
It's like kids running, like a grandma running and playing with their granddaughter in a park, and they're like smiling at the kid, and the kid's smiling back at them. This consult your doctor if you have headaches, nausea, diarrhea, vomiting, internal bleeding. Consult your GP. Side effects could cause cancer. Right? It's just like the worst stuff ever. You're like. But, I mean, asthma say that, though, on the packet, if you actually read it. You know, like, the little leaflet inside. But, like, they're obviously made to say it.
It's because you get sued if someone commits a crime while on this, like, pharmaceutical. They can just blame it on the drug. And
yeah,
then like,
yeah.
Yeah, it's just like, come on.
Anyways, I'm worried we were going to go off on a tangent. We have gone off on a tangent. Let's finish it. Finish it. We'll see you all next week. And as always, remember to keep it in the chains.
Keep it in the chains.
Keep it in the chains.
Wait, I gotta figure out how to say keep it in the chains in Swedish.
I was gonna say what a YouTuber says that I watch sometimes, keep your dick in a voice.
Thanks for listening to In the Chains. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. And if you like the show, please leave us a review. Make sure to check out our YouTube channel to view our round videos and course flythroughs. And hit subscribe there too. Until next time, keep it in the chains.